Good morning, brothers and sisters. This morning when we came here about 8:30 or 8:20, something like that, we saw a queue in front of all these doors, entrance. So yeah, things are happening, and but no matter what happened outwardly, may we have the peace in the Lord and not distracted. So yeah, we can gather before Him and learn to gather in His name, so that we can listen to Him. Let us pray. So we come to You, we thank You so much for Your precious blood. Your blood cleanses, and also Your blood saves us. So this morning as we come to You, we ask You, Your life supply, and You are with us. And as we read Your scripture, Lord, we ask You, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, whatever the Lord wants to speak to us. So we commit our time to You, we come to You with our limitation and inadequacy. But Lord, we look upon You. May Your will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time we looked at the heavenly spiritual blessings from the first chapter of Ephesians. These spiritual blessings are for the children of God, those they are born again. Are you born again? Are you truly saved? Has your name been written in the book of life? Wish everyone sitting here has their name written on the book of life, because God desires all men to be saved. Last time we looked at that, the heavenly spiritual blessings from God to believers, given from by God to believers in the first part of Ephesians chapter 1. Firstly, we look at that God chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Secondly, we look at God predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, and made us accepted in Him. Thirdly, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of the grace. This is a wonderful grace through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, because sinners such as us, totally unworthy and unacceptable to the holy and righteous God, we were enemy of God, but now can even become sons of God, precious in His eyes, to be made holy and blameless. So these were what we shared last time. This time I would like to continue with the rest of the first chapter of Ephesians, with a focus on the eternal purpose of God. In verse 9 and 10 of the Ephesians chapter 1, it says, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. These verses tells us that God has a will. God purposed that this will before the foundation of the world. God wants that purpose to be accomplished for eternity. We call it the eternal purpose of God. That purpose was a secret in God's heart. That purpose is precious and important in God's heart, and He kept in a secret within Himself. That's why it was a mystery, which means a hidden purpose to us. But now God wants those who belong to Him, those people that are born again, to know this purpose in God's heart. God made it an open secret to His children. God's purpose that will, according to His good pleasure, He is pleased with His eternal purpose. It is important for us to know that eternal purpose of our God. It can help us to know His heart desire and learn to love Him and learn to love His will. As Christians, we want to know God's will on different matters concerning ourselves. What is God's will for me in my current situation? Which university I should go? Which course should I study? Which job should I do? Or which one should I marry? God has His will on our lives, on different aspects. Knowing the eternal purpose of God can help us to understand how to seek Him, His various wills on our various life situations. Because God wants to work in us through different leadings and guidance to bring us to align with His eternal purpose. What is the eternal purpose? In verse 10 it says, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. That is, in the administration and management of the fullness of times, God is to gather together all things in one, in Christ, including both in heaven and on earth. All things in the universe or on earth, physical or spiritual, were created for a purpose. Their coming into being is not because a random explosion occurring without purpose or meaning, not just atoms and strands. God loves His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, very much. He wanted to express His love through giving all things to His beloved Son. All things were created through His Son and for His Son. He wanted His Son to inherit all things. His Son is the center of all things. All things find its meaning in His Son. God wants His Son to have the preeminence, the first place in all things. So God wants all things are gathered together in harmony under the headship of His Son. God loves His Son. He is very important in God's eyes. Therefore, Jesus should be very important in our eyes. If we are well with Jesus, we are well. But if we are well with everyone else but not Jesus, we are in trouble. God wants His Son Jesus to be the center, our destiny. Depends on our relationship with Him. If we are only good to or honest with or love everyone, but not good to honest with and love Jesus, our destination will be pitiful. As it said in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. How about let us read together? Therefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, or those in heaven and of all those on earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When the time comes, all will have to bow down and confess Christ is Lord. No matter those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. Some bow down and confess in great fear, and some in great joy. Let all of us bow down and confess Jesus today, so that we can bow down and confess in joy that day. God wants His Son to be the Lord of all. In verse 11 to 12 in Ephesians chapter 1, it continues to say, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Here Paul continued to talk about those who trusted in Christ. In the eternal purpose of God, there are the ones who were predestined to obtain an inheritance. The inheritance includes the heavenly spiritual blessings, such as holiness, blamelessness, the full sonship in Christ, so that we can be like Him. And His riches are our inheritance. We obtain this inheritance is for the praise of His glory. In verse 13 to 14, it said, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. Here we see that when we trust in Jesus Christ, we were given the Holy Spirit. So it is not true that a Christian needs to grow to a certain spiritual maturity in order to gain the Holy Spirit. No. When a person is saved through trusting Jesus, he or she receives the Holy Spirit. Like the 12 people in Ephesus, who originally knew only the baptism of John the Baptist, we mentioned last time. After they believed in Jesus preached by Paul, they received the Holy Spirit straight away. We are not giving the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus, and after a while, we are not given. Need some time for us to gain to have the Holy Spirit. No, we have the Holy Spirit when we believe in the Lord. But we are not only given the Holy Spirit when we believe. The Holy Spirit given to us is to be the seal. The seal given by God so that we belong to the Lord. So the Bible we just read mentioned also, the Holy Spirit is the pledge of our full inheritance one day we receive for eternity. Not only we belong to God, and this is a pledge for our full inheritance one day we receive before the Lord for eternity. The Ephesians, they understood easier what is meant by a seal. Ephesus used to be a harbor city, and timber log cut from the trees in the mountain area and other parts of Asia Minor forest were floated and transported downstream to the harbor. Businessmen from different places went to the mountain to buy trees. After selecting fig trees they are going to buy, the businessman stamped on the tree with an iron seal like a hammer. After some time, for a few months, the businessman sent the agents to the harbor to collect the wood with a seal on it. This is what is meant by a seal. The Holy Spirit is given as a seal to everyone who is born again through trusting Jesus. Once we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, He never leaves us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit could come to a person and then left that person later. King Saul is an example. After Samuel anointed Saul, preparing him to be the king of Israel, the Spirit of God came upon him when a group of prophets met Saul. And Saul prophesied among the prophets. But after Saul disobeyed God, the Bible said, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. So Saul is an example. The Spirit came to him, but left later. There was a prayer of repentance by David in the Old Testament after he sinned against God by committing adultery and murder. In Psalm 51, verse 11, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David asked the Lord not to take away the Holy Spirit from him, because the Holy Spirit could be taken away from a person in the Old Testament, like King Saul. However, this prayer is not suitable for Christians. Not suitable for Christians in the New Testament. It is because once we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, He never leaves us. There are some Chinese or English Christian hymns which include David's prayer there in their lyrics, which is not right. Christians shouldn't pray this prayer because the Holy Spirit never leaves us. Once we are a child of God, we always are children of God. The Holy Spirit never leaves us. Whatever sin we committed, we should repent and confess our sin to the Lord. Ask Him for forgiveness by His blood. God will forgive us. Though we might face consequences of our sin and discipline from God. But we are very secure. Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen by God. We are given the Holy Spirit as seal. This seal is a mark of ownership. We belong to God. Also, one day, by the Holy Spirit as guarantee, we can receive our full inheritance. That day we can be fully sanctified, holy and blameless, to be like Christ for eternity to the praise of God's glory. The Holy Spirit is not only the seal of our ownership to God. He is not only the guarantee for us to receive the full inheritance of God in the future. Between the time God sealed us with the Holy Spirit, when we are justified, and the time we receive the full inheritance in the future, the Holy Spirit is also the one who does the sanctification work in us. The Holy Spirit is God. The God in the Bible is the God of Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one true God. This is far beyond what we can understand with our human mind. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the God of Trinity. The the night before Jesus was crucified, he promised his disciples that he would ask the Father to give them the Holy Spirit. In the last 3.5 years, Jesus always with his disciples, physically beside them. But he knew that he won't be able to be with them in person after his crucifixion, after his resurrection and ascension. So he asked the Father to give the disciples the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. This is how Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." So here tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He abides with us forever. He is our helper, our comforter and encourager. He's always there to comfort, to encourage us. He never leaves us alone. So anytime, in whatever circumstances, he is there ready to help us. Therefore, whenever we are in need, we can turn to the Holy Spirit in us to call him for help, to seek him, to rely on his strength and wisdom and protection in facing the situation. The Holy Spirit is also our teacher, as Jesus continued in verse 26 of the same chapter. He said, "For the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance of all things that I said to you." He has told us that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will teach us all things the Lord wants to teach us. 2 weeks ago, there's a brother, he shared with me the difficulties in his work circumstances. He found it very difficult to work with the boss. And not only he find that, all his colleagues find that the boss is very difficult to work with. And when one day when the brother read his Bible, the Holy Spirit remind him, don't judge. Because in his heart he has a lot of dissatisfaction, or even anger. Why the boss organized the work like that? But as the Holy Spirit taught him, he started to learn, not to judge the boss. It's not easy, but he learned that. He tried to learn that. Because it's from the Holy Spirit's teaching, so he learned to do that. And he learned that bit by bit. And later, the Holy Spirit taught him not only not to judge the boss, the line manager, also need to respect him or honor him. So he tried to learn when he interacted with the boss, he tried to honor him, be polite. It's not easy to learn, but he learned. And after a while, the Holy Spirit reminded him, because the team members, during lunchtime or when they gather together, they talk about the boss. And the Holy Spirit reminded him not to say bad things about the boss. So he learned. So as he learned, he find that other team workers, when the boss organized the arrangement is very unreasonable, and they find it not easy in their heart, and they find it working there is very difficult. But this brother, because he learned to not judge the boss and his heart is less and less bitterness, he can focus on his work and he treat the difficulties and challenges as training. So he can manage a lot of things, even though things are too much for him, but he tries to manage. And he grows in his work environment. And later he has a good relationship with the boss. I'm not saying that everyone should be like that. But sometimes if the Holy Spirit prompts us, then we learn what the Holy Spirit teaches. Or sometimes the Lord allows some difficult situation in our workplace or in our different occasion. Maybe this is the time for us to go, we don't know. But whenever the Holy Spirit teaches us in our circumstances, we can learn to follow the Holy Spirit's teaching. So the truth of God, not only in our head, but also in our heart, we can experience. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus continues to say, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." The Holy Spirit is the one testify Jesus. In John chapter 16, verse 13 to 14, he continued, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is to testify Jesus. His work is to bring people to Christ and to know him. His work is to glorify Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit comes to help, to comfort and encourage. But he does not just come and help and comfort for the sake of help and comfort, for our own desire or our own self-centeredness. He is the Spirit of truth. He comes to guide us into all truth, the truth testifying Jesus. And he come in order to sanctify us, to bring us to the lordship of Jesus, to love him and to enjoy him, to glorify him. The Holy Spirit is faithful to the eternal purpose of God and is faithful to us to accomplish the sanctification work in us for the praise of his glory, for God's glory. The rest of Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15 to 23 is mainly about the prayer of Paul for the Ephesians. In verse 18 of chapter 1, Paul prayed, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." Here Paul prayed about the inheritance. Previously, Paul talked about the inheritance of heavenly spiritual blessings the saints receive from God. Here in verse 18, Paul prayed about God's inheritance in the saints. In the Bible, saints are Christians, and Christians are saints. Because of the sanctification work On one hand, the saints one day receive full inheritance from God. On the other hand, the saints are also God's inheritance. God's precious inheritance. The saints as God's inheritance are rich in glory. As we move on, we then will see what precious inheritance God has. In verse 22 to 23, there tells us that the inheritance of God He has is His church. In verse 22 and 23 says, "And He put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Previously, in verse 10, we saw that God wants all things are gathered together in harmony under the headship of His Son. This is one aspect of the eternal purpose of God. Now in chapter 1, verse 22 to 23, we found that there's another aspect of the eternal purpose of God, which is concerning the church. The first part of verse 22 tells us that God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ to be the head over all things, which is what verse 10 said. In addition to this, the last few words of verse 22 are to the church. The whole verse 22 said that God put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which means with reference to the church, for the sake of the church, or for the benefit of the church. God loves His Son. He wanted to give all things to His Son. He wanted His Son to be head over all things and inherit all things. In particular, God wanted to give the church to His Son. Verse 23 tells us that the church is the body of Christ. Christ and church joined together in oneness. Christ is the head, the church is the body. Christ is head over all things with the church. The church is the fullness of Christ who fills all in all. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth in our hearts. But that is the eternal purpose of God. Christ is the head over all things with His church for God's glory. God chose us before the foundation of the world so that we can be holy and be like Christ, receiving fullness from Him, full inheritance from God. God will accomplish this not only because for loving us. More importantly, it is for loving His Son. He wants His Son to have a glorious church. We should praise God. He chose us to be in such an important part of His eternal purpose. God will successfully finish His work in each of us for the praise of His glory. And we all together are for the praise of God's glory. For each Christian, no matter how significant we feel we are a member of the precious body of Christ. We are precious and unique in the eyes of Christ because He loves His church. He loves each member in His body. We all have a part to play in the body of Christ, which is composed of all believers in Christ, in all generations, in all places. Each child of God is unique. We receive the same salvation, but each has their own personal salvation story. In this fallen world, we all sin against others, we sin against God, and we are being sinned against. We are living in a sinful world, a broken world. But after we are saved by God through being justified by Him, God starts His sanctification work in us. On earth, we are in the process of being sanctified and transformed to be like Christ. God set a unique path for individuals on earth to know and to pursue toward Christ. We all receive grace from the same God, but the struggles we have or the way we experience grace may be different. Each of us manifests God's grace for the praise of His glory differently. What we need to do is to trust Him with His way and be faithful. We don't need to compare with others. We don't need to copy. God has a unique way for us to manifest His grace on us and for the praise of His glory. God is so great, no individual can fully experience and manifest the fullness of Christ. But each has our own part for His glory. Recently, I read of a Christian brother in Taiwan. People call him Pastor Yang. When he was a child, he was an orphan. He believed in the Lord at about 40 years old. After believing in the Lord for a few years, he came with his family to the poor country area of Kaohsiung in South Taiwan to preach the gospel. After preaching gospel for some time, he and his wife started to take care of orphans, including those having physical disabilities. Later, because of the increasing needs, he opened and established an orphanage. The more he was transformed by the Lord to His likeness, the more he could love the orphans as his children. More than 1,000 orphans have been helped by him and his orphanage. He was well loved by them. A few years ago, 2013, he passed away and be with the Lord at age 103. In his life, he had his own weaknesses. He faced his own challenges and struggles. But we can see how an ordinary man receiving and manifesting God's grace, and he was transformed and grew to love the Lord. This is for the praise for His glory. Among the orphans, there was a deserted baby girl outside the market, just born with no arm, with her right foot being seriously distorted. Pastor Yang and his wife took her and raised her up in the orphanage. They didn't know who her parents are. So they gave her a name called Grace, with surname as his. Her name is Grace Yang. Grace comes across a lot of physical hardship from simple daily living and from medical operations for her disabilities. Grace believes in Jesus, and she is a Christian. Grace developed her left foot to write and draw. She's a painter artist using her left foot. Later, Grace married. She's now in her 40s, a mother of two children. In her life, Grace may have difficult weaknesses and struggles in learning how to trust the Lord and love Jesus. Compare with that of Pastor Young. She experienced different grace, aspects of grace. She has her own story to tell about God's grace from the same Lord for the praise of His glory. Individually, we are so tiny and we are small vessels, but God and His grace is so big. Each has our own part for the praise of His glory. Outwardly, we may live in very ordinary life, unlike that of Pastor Young or Grace Young. But each of us is actually experiencing extraordinary grace from God and have our own story to tell. Together we can manifest His wonderful grace. We can use each of our stories of grace for the praise of God's glory. When we go to God, we can all tell our stories and glorify Him. The eternal purpose of God is for Christ being the head over all things with His church. The church is very precious in Christ's eyes. So precious that He is willing to come and die in order to gain for Himself a glorious church. The church Christ is building is glorious. It is because each member of the body joins with Christ, the head, love Him, being loved by Him, join with Christ in oneness to the praise of God's glory. Not only this, the church Christ is building is for each member of the body joins with one another through Christ the head, join in oneness and join in love to the praise of His glory. So may the Holy Spirit reveal God and His eternal purpose to us so that we can be transformed day by day to love Him, to experience, to know His love, and to live for His eternal purpose, and learn to love one another, and learn to join with our brothers and sisters. The Bible says we love because God first loved us. As we this morning look at the eternal purpose of God, it seems like it's a very big, very high topic. But since it is recorded in the Bible, God wants us to know it. Not only know it in our head, but we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this in our heart, so that as we know the Lord more, we love Him more, and we love His purpose more. We love the church He loves more. Let us pray. Lord, we come to You, we ask You once again to reveal Yourself and Your heart's desire to us. Lord, we thank You for Your great love and Your precious purpose. And we thank You for including us in Your great precious purpose. So that we can know how to love You more according to Your heart's desire. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we are going to have time before the Lord's table, breaking of bread. Let us prepare our hearts to remember our Lord before His table.